When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve! Another day, another giant running his mouth as we get set, BT, for tomorrow, where a lot of people are going to be enjoying their dinner or trying to enjoy their dinner, but maybe getting sick at the thought of watching the Giants and Cowboys. And look, Malik Nabers, I mean, he doubled down off of the comments that we took issue with after the game on Sunday. To me, this is a major problem and an indictment of the head coach and where the organization is at when you have a rookie like Malik Nabers doubling down on disrespectful comments to begin with.
Yeah, I like confidence. I don't like arrogance. I don't like selfishness, especially from a rookie. I know that this isn't, you know, the old days, Hayes the rookie, the 70s, the 80s. I get it, stuff that Boomer and Phil and even Tiki to a lesser extent coming up in the 90s went through. I know it's a different day for the modern athlete, and that's fine, but you still have to have a sense of where you are in the pecking order of the team. And listen, I'm going to give a young kid, and we didn't go nuts with what he said. I didn't like it.
Right.
We brought it up. We discussed it. But we didn't hammer Malik Nabers. You know, heat of the moment. He's frustrated. He's a competitive guy. Okay. But now you have time to decompress, to think about it, to understand, you know, what happened, to have conversations with the head coach. I guess there were two of them that he had with Dable. And now you come back and you double down. Bad look. And it's a bad look for Nabers, and it's a worse look for the head coach, who right now seems like he has zero control over the team.
And in case you haven't heard what we're talking about, let's play you some of the more interesting cuts here from Malik Nabers. Go ahead,
Doug. Why not? Just because I'm a rookie, I'm a part of a team. I mean, I got added to this team to be a resource, to be somebody that can change the game. I'm not going to just sit back just because I'm a younger guy and just not speak on how I feel. They want me to speak up. They feel like my energy helps the offense in a way that's just how I am. I'm not going to just sit back and just let it go down just because I'm a young player. Clout don't mean nothing. I still play football. I play it at a high level. So whoever's saying I don't have the authority to be speaking out, that's on them. Oh, okay.
No, yeah, you don't care. That's the wrong attitude to take. Rookie or not, that's the wrong attitude. Even worse from a rookie, because you would think that he should be at least feeling his way through the NFL and listening and learning from the coaches. And by the way, if Dable is okay with Malik Nabers saying what he said on Sunday and then doubling down on that yesterday, mm-hmm. then that's Dable's issue, and he's not who I thought he was. Not saying that everybody's got to shut up and stand in line.
Yeah, I got you.
But that we're crossing a line here of being disrespectful to your head coach. That is undermining your head coach and sets a bad example for the rest of the team.
Well, think about the two things that our first impression, one based on his resume, the other one was just on, you know, watching him on game day, going back to that first game with Tennessee when he was lighting up Daniel Jones on the pick. The two things that I think were very galvanizing for Giant fans and just football fans in the area were, number one, the Giants offense, which had petered out. You bring in a guy who is innovative and who understands concepts of the modern NFL, and before you know it, you know, once he gets a couple of pieces here and there, this Giants offense will be souped up and humming. They average 14.5 points per game, but as I've said a few times the last couple of days, because I saw the stat over the weekend, it's the worst point per game output of any Giant team in 25 years. So we thought he was an offensive guy. The stats suggest otherwise. The other thing that we thought that was very, I guess, reassuring in the sense that it would stabilize the circus that the Giants have been for so long, was that this guy was a bit of an ass kicker.
Right.
You know, you see him turning red on the sideline, and we're like, all right, got a little Coughlin, got a little Parcells, kind of fits that old Giants mold. And now it just looks like he's, all right, well, he's got no control of the institution. It's a bad look.
All these guys speaking. And Dexter Lawrence, you know, again, yesterday say, well, media should be held accountable for misusing his use of the word soft. We played soft. What's the difference? You played soft. You are soft. Like, yeah, yeah. I love Dex, but come on.
I actually take offense to that. And I don't really take much offense to anything that athletes say. Because it really generally doesn't impact me. No, we didn't do anything. I do realize that there's times where words get twisted. This isn't one of them. Come on.
They used the word soft. He used it.
Yep. We didn't insert this in, you know, there were in articles, you know, people just pulling words or us leading shows just pulling it out of thin air. Now, we've surmised aloud, like, oh, wow, what's going on with Banks? This goes back, you know, 5-6 weeks ago, whatever it was. Or, boy, the Giants don't look very interested in hitting or whatever it might be. But he was the one who brought it to the surface. So the Giants right now, they're a mess. They're a rudderless raft in the middle of the ocean, bouncing from wave to wave, hoping that eventually they get in the right direction. They don't know what they're doing right now.
And tomorrow could be the end.
They're going to get smoked tomorrow.
Okay, so if
I think the Giants are going to get lit up tomorrow.
And if they do, and I'm not so sure. Like, I don't know what to think with this team. I can't take it. I can't take it. DeVito, is he hurt? Is he not? But Dable, who I thought was good, he's getting steamrolled by his team, for goodness sake. Did you hear Phil Simms this morning?
I heard a great spot. How about when he's called the Foxes?
Yeah, I know. Well, that was great. Yeah, it was.
Phil sounds like he's a week away from the loony bit out there talking to the animals. I love Phil.
He's a nut job.
He was great.
But what I love that he said is where he took issue with the Giants saying, he's like, can you imagine Boomer players in our day saying something like that? Like, if you're going to say something bad, say it about yourself, not about the team. What good? So here's why I'll challenge Malik Nabers. Where Nabers says, oh, people who speak it on me and you know, that's on them and I can say whatever I want. Malik, what good is going to come from your comments disrespecting your head coach, ripping your team, putting your quarterback in a bad spot? What good is... You think you look better? You think it's like, it's everybody else's fault. It's not you. Can't be the great Malik Nabers and his 7 drops. Can't be you, who's on the worst offense in Giants history. Top pick. My ass. I don't care what you were. You have done nothing here. Nothing. Nada. Nada. I've seen plenty of receivers with worse quarterback situations have more success. And I'm not trying to pick up.
Garrett Wilson was one of them last year.
There you go.
Think about who's throwing him the ball.
Oh, okay, so then we know that it can't just be the quarterback.
Yeah.
So Malik is frustrated because he's being selfish. There is no good, Malik, that's going to come of you running your mouth and disrespecting your head coach and your team. Like, I get the alpha male and the dog and I want to win. There's ways to do it. Look in the mirror. Know your place and be respectful of your teammates. And it's not just him, BT, and that's why you're right. The Giants have a major problem here. This thing is going off the rails. And if they get embarrassed tomorrow on national TV against a backup quarterback with the Cowboys who all of a sudden woke up last week, then I think it's going to be the end for Shane and Dable.
Well, it will be. And they've got one of the best defensive players in the league. Talking about Parsons coming back healthy, getting ready to feast on a patchwork offensive line. He's going to, if DeVito even plays, he's going to obliterate poor DeVito. It's really bad, and you know with Nabers too, and I'm happy you kind of you led into this, but I want to underscore this. Like, I do appreciate the frustration. I do appreciate the resistance to losing and getting embarrassed. I really do. But you've got to look at small early samples. Not that trends can't change, but generally, you know, it's a foreshadow of things to come. There's a reason why when the substitute teacher rolls into the class, everybody's throwing paper, walking out completely. Right. I mean, those days were the best. Sister Jean's not in. We had a lot of nuns back. Oh, sister, you know, Sister Mary's out today. Woo, party time. I was doing my Fox call like Phil was. We were calling to the heavens. We got a free day here at school. So, you know, and so you know that when the regular teacher comes back, everybody sits there at attention, you know, and nobody's really messing around too much. It is just very ugly, and I think that when you look at the fact that they're not playing competitive football, they don't seem to be connected right now. The head coach doesn't seem to have much control. I'm going to ask the question again. What do the Giants do well? Can somebody please tell me what the Giants do well? They don't score. They don't stop you anymore. They're not connected. Their coach is coming across as soft. What are they doing well? Their GM looks lost. Their owner's been lost for the last 10 years. I'm waiting. I asked the question a week ago. What do the Giants do well? When somebody comes up with the answer, Tweet me while I'm stuffing my face on Thanksgiving. Maybe I'll get the answer by tomorrow, because right now, I don't have it.
One more thing on neighbors before we get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Think about the situation from Tommy. Well, it could be Daniel Jones, too, before him, but obviously Daniel Jones is now gone. But how about Tommy DeVito? Let's just focus on the now. You think that what neighbors says is going to help his young quarterback?
No, it's not.
Because now, and DeVito handled it the right way, basically saying, like, look, I got to worry about the offense here. I can't be force-feeding anybody if the right read's not there, which is the right thing to say.
He handled it very well.
And a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't. They'd feel pressure maybe to force-feed their loudmouth wide receiver. So that's not helping the quarterback either. Not only are you disrespecting the head coach, your selfishness is hurting your quarterback and the other teammates. Like, this is it's a big problem. I'm not saying Neighbor's a bad guy. I don't know him.
Not at all.
I don't think he is. But what he's doing is not helping the team.
Well, I would actually say, I wouldn't even frame it that way. He's definitely not helping the team. I would say that he's hurting the team.
And somebody has to get things in order here.
Anybody in charge over there? Anybody?
That to me is an indictment of a guy who I thought was in command in Brian Daboll, but apparently the wheels are starting to come off. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Joe is in West Islip. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you? Love your show. I'm always the outcast. I disagree with you on the neighbors thing. Okay. He's a professional athlete. He plays on a high level. He's right. He's pissed. These guys want to win, and he's laying fire. You know, I played sports on a low level, but, you know, you need that guy. Come on, we got to get it together. He's getting in their face. These guys aren't babies. What, are they going to be breastfed?
He's a professional athlete. The baby. Joe, he's the one who's acting like a baby.
He's trying to ignite fire. He's trying to say, kids, go.
No. He's trying to get his. He's trying to get his. There's a difference.
He wants to win. He wants to win.
Well, I know he wants to win, but he wants to win and get his.
So what? These other players have to be coddled?
But they're not saying it the way he's saying it, Joe.
And I like you guys. I don't like this. We can have different opinions.
100%, man.
But I think neighbors said one thing. You know, he plays at a high level. Doesn't matter. He's a rookie. He's experienced. He's played football a while. I know they're professionals.
Yep.
But this guy's come a long way to be where he is. And he wants, I'm sure he's been winning teams a lot of part of his life.
Right, but Joe, don't you think the other 52 guys want to win too?
Yeah, but the fact that he shows more emotion. You know, some guys are more emotional than others. I'm an emotional guy. I'm an emotional guy. So I get it.
So are we. But Joe, and thank you for the call, and we appreciate the support. And yeah, you're entitled to your opinion. We're entitled to ours, obviously. That's why we love having the conversation with you. But there's a difference between showing emotion and disrespecting your head coach and putting your team in a tough spot by being selfish. And that's what Neighbors is doing. Like, there's a way to be accountable and say, you know what, we haven't been good enough. I'm frustrated. I wish I had more opportunity to make this team better. We got to figure it out. Right now we're struggling. It's been repeated weeks for Neighbors questioning his head coach, undermining the authority. Like, you can't do that.
I love emotion. I truly do. But misplaced emotion is not an asset. It becomes a detriment. And listen, if you are hearing that, I think you're just hearing us wrong. Neither one of us is saying that we want 53 cooker cutters with benign vanilla, you know, personalities. No, I like the dog. I like the juice. Like, I like that yin and that yang. Like, it didn't. This is not the best example because it didn't work out big picture. But when Keyshawn and Krabet, who went about, this is a million years ago, went about their jobs very differently, I thought it worked for them. They complemented each other well. Keyshawn was the flash guy, the in-your-face guy. Krabet was just the quiet, just, you know, lunch pail guy. And it worked, right? And I think that you really do need a few outlier personalities on the team. You know, you need a guy like Draymond Green when the Warriors are winning chips and you're getting a little bored. It's a little mundane. It's a little redundant. Oh, 82 games when they're trying to go for multiple championships and you've got to try to, you know, find something to spark an energy that's going to get through the lackluster days of January and February and get them ready to win, which they've won a few times. Now, it wasn't always perfect because Draymond knocked out a teammate. Draymond gets suspended. Draymond kicked LeBron on the stones. Like, he's had a lot of meltdowns, but I believe it's that energy along with Steph shooting and Clay shooting and the coaching that enabled them to keep winning. So you do need those. Reggie. Reggie was a loose wire. You need that. You know, even early days with the 86 Mets, and Lenny wasn't wasn't quite Lenny, but Lenny and Wally and Mitchell, I'm fine with that. Like, you don't need 25 Gary Carters who are going to church every day, and I respect that. That's not a knock. I do respect that. But Neighbors has to learn when it's a bad look and it could be constructive. And the other day, and then doubling down, not the right time.
Joe's in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking my call.
You too, Joe. What's up?
What's happening, buddy?
Here's the thing. I think it's more of an indictment on the player itself than the coach, because that's the thing. Today, the modern-day player, I mean, look at Odell Beckham. He was proposing to the freaking netting.
Yep.
And what did Coughlin do? He
couldn't
do anything. He was hamstrung.
Well, at that point, Joe, he was hamstrung because they kind of neutered him. If you go back three, four, right. 5 years, Tom Coughlin wouldn't have stood for that. And we said it was a problem then. Maybe that was the beginning of the end for the Giants when they took away Coughlin's power. The players shouldn't have that much authority. The head coach, somebody's got to be in charge. Whether we talk about it with Rodgers and the Jets, Coughlin and Odell Beckham, Dable and Malik Neighbors and everybody else, somebody's got to be in charge. Who's in charge with the Giants? These guys keep running their mouths.
Yeah, but I don't think any coaches, if you look around the league, who do you see?
Well, you don't think Jim Harbaugh?
Like maybe Tomlin,
Jim Harbaugh?
The only guy.
No, Jim Harbaugh's not in charge. John Harbaugh's not in charge.
Right, Andy
Reid's not in charge in his own way.
Yelling at the players and putting them in line.
Joe, here's the thing, Joe. Thanks for the call. I think there's a difference. I'm not saying that you just go back 30 years ago, like take Parcells and Sims. We were talking about Phil before. We've all seen the old NFL video footage where Phil is just getting lit up by Parcells. Now, Parcells gave him the wiggle room to fire back a little bit, and that was a good thing. I don't mean that, or Mike Ditka just airing out a quarterback or whatever. That's not going to fly. Nobody's espousing that. What I'm saying is, and when you do it behind closed doors, okay? And if you do it effectively, it won't bubble to the surface on a very public manner. That's why, like with, I'm going to take a little side road here. The Boone stuff with Torres, and even Aaron's brother said to us, he's like, "Yeah, I know that he's getting on Glaber for not always playing hard." And my response to Brett Boone was, "Well, all due respect, he's not doing it good enough. If every time there's a he's still loafing balls out and not running the bases hard or not having his head in the game. The point is, you don't do it in public view. You do it privately. And if the player continues to betray your trust, then I know what you're doing behind closed doors. Doors ain't working."
To me, it's a pretty simple philosophy. You can't be selfish, you can't disrespect your teammates, and you certainly can't undermine authority. Like, this is in any walk of life. And Malik Neighbors has done that repeatedly. Forget about even the teammates part of it, directly undermining and disrespecting his head coach.
Yep.
That, to me, can't fly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't work. You can't have a healthy working environment if one of your players, let alone a rookie, like a veteran really should put him in his place. But if nobody's doing that, okay, well, then it should be the head coach. And I don't know what kind of conversation they're having. Dable said, "Well, I've spoken to Leak and whatever." And then he doubles down. "This is what they want from me." I guarantee that's not what they want. I guarantee it. And if it is, then they're all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody needs to go. Because there's no way that type of talking, behavior, whatever you want to label it, is going to lead to a successful team. There's just no way.
It's going to get worse, Al.
Correct. It is getting worse by the week.
How do you think Malik Neighbors, if he feels entitled enough and established enough to say, well, I don't want to say what he said, but more so maybe double down on what he said, because everybody misspeaks, and I don't want to be one of those people that just, no forgiveness or whatever. If he would have circled back and said, "Yeah, I was a little frustrated," we wouldn't even be opening the show with this today. But when you have that this early, and wait till the endorsements start coming, wait till he starts making more money, you don't think it's going to get worse? I mean, it's going to become potentially more divisive, and there's a reason why they felt compelled to ask him during the pre-draft meeting, that evaluation process, how are you going to handle not getting the ball? How are you going to handle not winning? Because the early report on Neighbors, incredible talent, but maybe a little bit of a me guy or whatever, an ego guy. And here we are, less than just about three quarters into his rookie year, it's bubbled to the surface and it looks like it's getting worse.
I'd be willing to bet Ray Flaherty never disrespected his head coach or teammates publicly. Sal back on the Fan on this Thanksgiving Eve. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Daniel Jones has a new home, BT. According to Jordan Schultz of Fox, or Fox Sports, Daniel Jones signing on with the Minnesota Vikings.
That's perfect for him. You know, we talked to Phil Simms the other day, and I heard Phil, because we referenced the interview this morning, you know, obviously Boomer and Gio have him every week, and he's money. Although he was particularly funnier today than you, and he's usually funny. He was great. But, you know, the football stuff was awesome as always, because he talked about how the Vikings would be a good spot for Jones. He told us that a few days ago, as I said. And you look at O'Connell and how he runs things. Everybody who plays for O'Connell just looks good. They've revived Darnold. I believe they'll do the same for Daniel Jones. And think about this. Unless the Vikings win the Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure here that that Sam Darnold's going to move on, because they've got McCarthy coming off the knee injury, and they want to eventually get their first-round pick as the starter. So Darnold, who's had a really good year, is going to get big money. So I thought this could just be a 2-month audition for the rest of the NFL. I wouldn't be surprised next year. Darnold, different team. Daniel Jones either starting the season, McCarthy's not ready, or McCarthy starts, Jones to back up in Minnesota.
Right, but if Darnold was good, why not just stick with him?
Well, because you're going to command a ton of money.
But if the Vikings want a good quarterback,
that's true. That's fair. I mean, why overthink it when you have it?
I mean, yeah.
They drafted McCarthy in the first round.
Also, like, I don't care. There is no such thing as a quarterback whisperer. So it's not Kevin O'Connell, it's not Brian Daboll, it's not Andy Reid. Like, there's no such thing as a quarterback whisperer. So anybody who thinks that all of a sudden Daniel Jones, after 6 years of watching him fail to play the position well, is all of a sudden going to turn into a stud, like, I'm just not buying it, BD. I think certain guys were put in situations like Darnold or Geno Smith to fail early on. It's taken them years and multiple organizations to figure it out.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones got 6 years here with different regimes, different head coaches, different players around
him. Not a lot of talent around him.
He regressed.
He did. He definitely regressed.
I'm just not buying it. I'll believe it when I see it with Daniel Jones.
Listen, I'm not saying that they rehab him to the tune of 30 touchdowns, 7 picks, and, you know, 3,900 yards and 7 rushing touchdowns. I'm not saying that. But remember, the NFL is a weird world, and I always gave you the Rich Gannon reference, but how about Baker Mayfield? How about Sam Darnold both being on the Carolina Panthers, both on the Panthers roster, and neither one being deemed good enough for them? Carolina probably wasted a pick on Bryce Young. Both Baker and Darnold are thriving. I do think that Jones, and I've said this before, I think Jones has a chance to be good. I'm not going to say stud, not going to say star. Whatever a level above functional is, I think that that's where Daniel Jones is going to wind up. I don't think he's done.
BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Greg is in, Anthony, I'm sorry, is in Plainview. What's up, Ant?
What's up, John? How are you?
How are you, Ant?
I would love to dial in on this Daniel Jones talk first before Malik Nathan. I would love to get in on that.
Go ahead.
I completely disagree. I think Daniel Jones outside New York will be a stud. I think the years that he had at New York were horrible. The guy's been through God knows how many head coaches. The guy has been through a horrible O-line. You have to also think about 2022. That guy went to the playoffs with Richie James as one of the starting wide receivers. Give him some talent.
Well, the wide receivers didn't matter because he didn't throw the football.
Yeah, I mean,
I got you with that one, he didn't throw the football. I mean, he ran well.
He did run well.
Okay, so then what's the difference with the receivers? The receivers don't matter with Daniel Jones because he can't throw it. You know that, Anthony.
I mean, he showed flashes of throwing well, but I think somewhere else where you have like a Justin Jefferson, he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Moving his feet out of the pocket.
I mean, we'll say thank you for the call, and we appreciate you checking in. I mean, he had Malik Nabers. He was supposed to be a stud. What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, without Jones, Nabers hasn't looked as good. I mean, early on, Jones was getting the football, and Nabers looked like an absolute beast.
I mean, I don't know about
before
that.
He got concussed?
Yeah.
Before Nabers got concussed?
Yeah, but you're going back, what, week four that
I'm going back to the four games when Nabers was healthy before his head hit the turf.
Is it him being concussed, or is it Daniel Jones not? Like, it's not post-Daniel Jones. They played one game without Daniel Jones. It was 10 games before that, and Nabers has not been the same player that he was in the first few weeks of the season.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is, and I don't know the real answer, and I want to be responsible to the injury, I just know that when Jones started the year and Nabers was pre-concussion, that Nabers looked awesome.
Yeah, they were feeding the beast.
He looked awesome.
Now, even with him looking good or putting up good numbers, The offense still stunk.
But that's a different conversation. But that's a different conversation. Think about this. But if you're telling me that it doesn't matter who the wide receiver is, that it's not going to really impact Daniel Jones favorably, I'm saying, well, Neighbors was healthy, and Daniel Jones, I'm not saying Jones looked great. He certainly looked better than when Neighbors was diminished because of the concussion. Neighbors hasn't been the same guy. He was one of the top five receivers in football.
Correct. But is that Daniel Jones' fault, or is that...
I don't know the origin of the answer. I just know that they were both diminished, so probably because of Neighbors' injury and injury, other stuff to other guys too. Football's it's all team oriented. I get that, but
the Giants ran a flea flicker. They had two wide receivers. Like, it could be Ricky James, it could be Sterling Shepard, it could be Malik Neighbors, could be Slayton, could be Jerry Rice. They had two guys running wide open down the field, and the quarterback whose job
he's broken
to throw. Okay.
I know
now,
he is.
Now you're
now
right.
You got to put him together like Humpty Dumpty.
But for the Giants, it'd be like, oh, he's going to get it back. Oh, you know, I mean, come on, it's broken here.
Mm-hmm. Was Darnold broken?
I'll tell you what. If O'Connell...
Was Baker broken?
Yeah, but again, Baker and Darnold have had many stops.
Yeah, but they didn't play. Sam Darnold backed up in San Francisco. Yeah. He didn't play.
Okay, but still that...
Being in the system, being around the winning team certainly helps. I got that.
You benefit from that.
Well, you don't think it's going to benefit Daniel Jones Sam Darnold and watching this offense for a little bit?
Maybe.
I think so.
I don't think he's any good in the NFL.
Well, then that's where we disagree.
Right, so
you think he's just out of the NFL in 3 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've watched him
for
6 years.
We very much disagree.
I mean, I put it this way. I think at best, he's going to be a backup quarterback. At best. Like, even Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, they still have their limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last I checked, the Bucs aren't very good. They're fun to watch. I love Baker Mayfield's toughness. He can make some plays, but, I mean, is anybody looking at the Bucs as a legitimate threat in the NFC?
Well, I mean, they had lost four straight games. No, the answer is no, but they had lost four straight games. And one of the reasons they lost four straight games before the Jets, the schedule makers, were so generous to put the Giants out there to make sure it wasn't five straight, is that Mike Evans basically missed a month. And Mike Evans comes back, and what do you know? The third of the offense could have scored 50 if the Bucs didn't take the foot off the gas. Like, I get it. We're kind of going off to the side road here. I just think Daniel Jones is a little bit better than you do. That's all. But now he's got to prove it.
Jimmy's in Dix Hills. What's up, Jimmy?
Jimbo.
Hey, guys, great show. Listen, the Giants are going to be bad for a long time now, for the next few years. We know that. What you need to do is suspend the kid. And I know you might disagree with me, but suspend the kid for one game. Let's cut this off right away. Because if you let him run his mouth like this, it's just going to get worse and worse. We're back with OBJ, and it's going to get worse. So the coach needs to suspend him, and that's why we set the message. Because obviously...
Hey, Jimmy, you agree with that? Would you suspend?
No,
I would not.
No, I don't. I think that's too harsh. I mean, I like the thought process where you want to hold him accountable.
Yeah.
I think suspension is way too harsh. Here's the problem, BT. Much like it was with Odell, you and I had this conversation weeks ago. The first time Neighbors spoke either out of line or in a disrespectful way toward his coach, I said on this show... Starting to see a little bit of Odell. That was weeks ago before it has now gotten out of control. So now it's like multiple times over. Even this one example, if you forget about the first couple of times that it happened, let's just go to this most recent example. Sunday, Neighbors speaks out. After the fact, Dable said he spoke to him multiple times. A day later, he's doubling down and making it even worse. Like, clearly the message that Dable is trying to send is either not getting through or he's not sending the message. I don't think it would need to get to the point of suspension if Dable handled this the right way to begin with behind closed doors.
But he didn't, and since we're here, you still don't think he should be suspended?
I would not suspend him.
Okay, then what if it gets worse? And by the way, I agree. I don't think it's suspendable. I think that's a little over the top.
Yeah,
I really do.
It's way too harsh.
Yeah, I think that's... By the way, I don't even know if Dable's here next year. So no matter how he tries to flex and reel him in, does it really matter if he's not here? Listen, but then you can make the case. Now, this is Dable's problem here. If Dable doesn't win a couple of games down the road here, and let's face it, if you have an engaged, productive Malik Neighbors, the odds to win maybe a game or two, or maybe not that I win a three, maybe one or two down the road, which could save his job, the odds obviously increase significantly. If Neighbors is disenchanted or suspended or not productive, then you can make the case that Dable's absolutely gone. So by swallowing whatever moral compass you have for the team to keep Neighbors out there to try to keep your job, to get him in the end zone, because if he scores, you'll probably win a game that you shouldn't, and maybe you get brought back. Now it becomes very convoluted, because now you're not operating from the purview of what's best for the team. You are operating from the seat of and the lens of, I got to save my ass.
Which is the same thing
that
happened.
And that's dangerous.
It's the same thing that happened with Coughlin and Odell at the end.
Uh-huh.
Coughlin, you could see it. He didn't want to do what he did with Odell, but basically had no choice because he thought he needed the player, or the organization wanted the player to play. He thought it would give him the best chance to win so he could save his job. It didn't work out, and then that got out of control. And I'm not saying Neighbors is the same as Odell. Odell was doing the antics. And
peeing in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, just sheer stupidity.
It was ridiculous stuff.
I couldn't take it with
him. But it got out of control. And to me, before you get to the level of suspension, you want to have the head coach send a message to the player saying, look, I understand your frustration, Malik. We love you. We want you here. We like that fight. We like that competitiveness.
Yep.
What you did, the way you went about it, was not the right way. And here's what you need to do, whatever, blah, blah. Send the message that way.
But I think that he did.
Okay.
Well, it didn't work.
Clearly, message wasn't received.
It seemed like it was ignored.
But we don't know if he gave the right message, if the message wasn't received.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think we're at a point of suspension.
Me neither. Either way, can we agree that it's an ineffective job by Dable?
Correct.
Let's at least settle on that.
That, to me, is worse. When you've got your own players, and it's not just Malik Neighbors, but Neighbors front and center, disrespecting your teammates, head coach, guys calling your team soft, that to me is the worst indictment of Dable, worse even than his lousy record. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I got to be honest with you. I just can't take the social media stuff with Daniel Jones already. Like, I scroll through the X during the break right there. It's all, oh, Kevin Stefanski and the Vikings. Oh, he's a quarterback whisperer. Daniel Jones, like, good. I hope he goes there and has success. I don't care. It didn't work here for 6 years with multiple coaches. Now, what? He's landed in the one spot with the one guy. If that's the case, then Stefanski should be making $100 million a year. You should pay, O'Connell. I get them mixed up. You should be paying O'Connell more than Soto is going to get in the open market. O'Connell, quarterback whisperer. Like, give me a break. The Vikings aren't even that good. Come on. I mean, geez, what are we talking about here?
How the hell are you getting so worked up over this?
It's annoying. Because I watched Daniel Jones for 6 years. And now what? I'm supposed to expect Kevin O'Connell's going to fix him? How many times, by the way, Boyle, did I call him Stefanski so far?
I think it was two or three.
I only heard just now.
Okay, I did it before?
I don't think you did it before.
Okay. I knew that coming in, too, because I'm listening to Boomer and Gio, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, they say O'Connell, and I just, you know, to me, Kevin O'Connell, Kevin Stefanski. What's the difference? What's the difference?
Oh! Yeah,
exactly. Anyway, BT and Sal, the Phillies.
Not much. Doesn't take much to set you off, huh?
Dude.
It's the exact opposite of what I was doing during the break.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was following up on something for Santa's list.
Ooh,
and,
you know,
making sure that certain things would be arriving. You know, I've got to help Santa out with certain things. And I had a very pleasurable 5 minutes. You seem to get worked up like a raving lunatic.
Maybe I should take an escape from the show as well during the next break.
Well, no, I just had to follow up on something. The show is, I'm ready to roll. I just don't care about Kevin Stefanski or O'Connell.
It's not them. It's that now the thing that bothers me is that it's still Daniel Jones being shoved down our throat. Like, maybe this is now officially the end. Like, what he does when Darnold left the Jets, it wasn't like, Sam Darnold with the Panthers. Or like, it was.
He also never won a road playoff game. Yeah. If Sam did, he might have. It might have been a different narrative.
Well,
and he wasn't here 6 years, Sam.
Yeah, well, that's the point. Maybe he stayed here 6 years.
And he wasn't replaced by a number two overall pick. Like, so it was easy to say, and I'm not saying it was the right move now in hindsight, but, all right, Darnold 3 years didn't work out, and all right, let's get the new kid in here, and then the new kid doesn't work. Let's get Rodgers. Where were Daniel Jones? It's like, all right, they didn't draft anybody after. They didn't bring in a legend after that like the Jets did with Rodgers. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Daniel Jones was just a lot better than Darnold here.
I think the one thing I would maybe side with the Giants and Giant fans on if they say they believe in Daniel Jones was that his first year under Shurmur, he looked like a real quarterback. A rookie quarterback, but a real quarterback.
He did.
So moving on from Shurmur, who, by the way, is a proven, successful offensive mind in the NFL and now doing it
collegiately,
college.
Yeah, with Sanders.
So maybe that was their biggest mistake in screwing Daniel Jones up. But ultimately, BT, I don't know how many coaches, how many running backs, wide receivers, different line combinations you need to evaluate. Like, it's been 6 years. The guy just can't throw the football for whatever reason. It was over here.
I wish you still cared about the Falcons the way that you used to, because I would love to see Daniel Jones shove 412 yards down your Falcons' throat as a Viking.
Yeah.
I mean, the playoff, Darnold tweaks a hammy. Not that I'm wishing anything.
Well, that would bother me.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
It would bother me still, even though I don't care as much. It would still bother me.
Okay.
Daniel Jones beating anybody that I care about would bother me at this particular point. Chris is calling from Allendale, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hello, bud.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Well, almost Thanksgiving. And BT, we played some golf back in your ESPN days. I'm the Brooklyn beer guy.
Oh, so, what's going on, man? Was that up at Brandwoods?
Yeah, Brandwoods, and then I think New York Country Club a couple times.
I played all the time at NYCC. What's going on, buddy? You good? Nice to hear from you, Chris.
Yeah, good. Anyway, yeah, I kind of disagree with the take. You know, again, I've been a long... I'm not going to say suffering season ticket holder, but the last 10 years have been rough with the Giants. But, you know, I'm not really upset by what I heard neighbors say yesterday. Like, they did bring him here to be a game changer. I think, you know, he's not on the sidelines with the theatrics and slamming his helmet and ignoring the coaches and showing people up. Like, yeah, he's young. He's going to learn how to speak to the media here in New York. We've watched veterans that make mistakes with the media, but... Like, I want a guy with passion that wants to win. Like,
me too.
Someone needs to change this mojo that's been going on. Is it the coaching? I don't know. I don't want to become a rotisserie chicken with the coaching carousel. But ultimately, you know, something's got to change. But, you know, I don't disagree with what I've seen him do.
Yep.
And I don't think it's a negative impact.
Understood. Respect that. We disagree. My only fear would be, you know, what if what he said after games now eventually turns into him doing what you said he's yet to do, flailing the arms during games, ignoring coaches. Like, there is a chance that what he said was a one-off, and although I just think by his personality he's going to do a lot of talking here, there's no guarantee that he leans into the theatrics, but he might.
Well, how about him? Where was that passion and fire and competitiveness when he was chumming it up with his buddy Jaden Daniels on the sideline?
So we
forget about that?
I didn't. We talked about it.
Yeah, no, we talked about that, but everybody, oh, no, I like the fire. Well, did you like that he was dancing around and hanging out with his buddy during the game?
Yeah, and Jaden didn't go to the Giants sideline. He waltzed over to the Commander sideline. Did you see? Unless this is a ball sack story, and I probably should double check, because you never know with the parody accounts, whatever, that the Commanders are seriously thinking about going back to their old name? Did you guys see this?
Oh, come on. That's a ball
Pat,
sack.
Pat, that's real, right?
No way. Well,
I heard Boomer and Gio talking about it, so I'm going to assume that. I know the logo. They're contemplating going back to the logo.
Yes, because it's a chief from the state of Montana, and I guess the descendants and, like, the representation, I forget the name of the tribe, so pardon me for not knowing it, but they wrote a letter, and they say, they take it as a form of respect. Like, honestly, they're thinking about going back to their old name, or at least the old logo. I swear to God.
I mean, come on now.
Well, I mean, a lot of things are changing in the world where, you know, the
we're going back?
No. I want to stay in my lane. I don't know fully enough to give you a 100% opinion, so I'll kind of split it down the middle. There was a point for a couple of years, and it's now reversing, where people were overreacting to everything, and there's a thought that there was an overreaction to that. Now, it didn't offend me, but I'm not of that descent, so it's not up to me to make that determination. But again, do the reading, and Pat, maybe you can help me out. Can you just pull this up here?
Because
this is important stuff. I don't want to mess this up. Go ahead.
So the Senator of Montana, Steve Daines, has been in contact, I guess, with a Native American group in Montana.
There you go.
And this article from Cowboy State Daily claims that they would want the name and the logo to come back.
That's what I thought.
And apparently that former efforts to do that weren't pushed hard enough.
Yeah. So I didn't hear it with Boomer and Gio. I read it quickly last night. And it is real. There you go. It's interesting.
Greg is in Rahway. What's up, Greg?
Hey, man.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to the 1970s with the Giants. This is the way it was.
It was a very good decade. Go ahead.
No, this is the way. You guys are too young to see the 70s, but this is what it was like.
Well, but why do we need a history lesson, Greg, on it? Why can't we just move forward on what needs to be done?
I just want to say, I called in the beginning of the year, and I said they'd probably last the next 2 years, but I changed my mind with Dable, because I just don't like the way things are working out. I don't like his play calling at all. He should have left it to the other guy or whatever, but... It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. I do think that that's a fair statement. I understand that sometimes, you know, if there's things become very inflamed, especially when you're just embroiled in losing for a long time, and you know, it just becomes a little reckless, a little mean-spirited. I got to be honest with you, Sal. I think anything that's said about the Giants pertaining to their the direction they're going, wondering aloud, and I've said it, so I'm not going to run from it, the reasons or not to bring back Dable and Shane next year, I think it's all fair game. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, how can you sit here and say they should absolutely be back in 2025? You can't.
You can't. Not after the way that they've performed. Look, whatever happened prior to today or tomorrow doesn't really matter. It's about what's going to happen moving forward to try to fix this thing once and for all. And there's no reason to hope that the Giants are going to get it right because they haven't gotten it right in so long. But the arguments for Shane and Dable are getting harder and harder to make.
Yeah, they really are. I know we got a break here. Yeah. And the only reason he brings up the 70s, and I get it, let's push this thing forward and not always look in the rearview mirror, but the 70s are the point of reference for the Giants where it was as inept as it could possibly get. And I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to do it now. I don't have time. When you look at the act, and I've done this before. I did this about 3 or 4 months ago. When you look at the 70s and really contrast it to this past decade, outside of 2022, it's actually worse now. Crazy.